Kroger.
Two C's, two D's, and an F. That's a 1.2 grade average. Congratulations, Kroger. You're at the top of the Delta Pledge class.
You're listening to WDEL Saturday Hotspot. Here's Frank Gregory.
And one of the early efforts for Tom Hull. So, of course, did he win the Academy Award for Amadeus, Sean?
I don't think he won, but he was definitely nominated.
And just an absolute, very underrated effort by Tom Hulce in two movies that people don't know a whole lot about. Dominic and Eugene, which is
Ray Liotta.
Which is a personal favorite. I think it came out too close to Rain Man, and there was too much people confusing that. But Tom Hulce is really terrific in that. And then really funny in Parenthood. With Steve Martin. He does a really good job in that. Then he sort of, you know, dropped off the map a little bit. But when he's done there, he's really good. That was a really early effort for him, too, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were all kids.
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Bacon was 18 years old.
Right. Obviously, if it's Philadelphia connection. Let's talk briefly, and I don't know that you can do it briefly, about John Belushi. Again, had a huge cult following. Everybody did Samurai, Night Fever, and if I heard one more person say Cheeseburger, 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 I was about ready to jump through. But he really embraced the role of Bluto. That was perfect for him. But there's a lot of differing stories, and maybe you can clear up, that people were awed by his over-the-top talent, but he was kind of hard to work with.
Yeah, I mean, well, Animal House was an exception because it was the one movie he was sober on.
Right.
And he had to be because he was doing Saturday Night Live, so he'd work on Animal House on, he would fly into Oregon on Sunday night and then work Monday through Wednesday. And Thursday morning, he would have to be back in New York to do SNL. So he was working 7 day weeks and couldn't be the mess that he was the rest of the time. Because, I mean, it's sad. He was such a genius, but the demons just overpowered him.
And he had a concept of funny. That if he thought it was funny, there was not a lot of talking him out of it. He doesn't seem to get as much. I mean, people hold him in esteem because his career was so short, and the things we remember him in are so memorable. But I've talked to people that worked with Robin Williams, and you sort of expected that you gave him an outline of what you wanted him to do, and then you sort of trusted in the fact that he was going to be able to do what you wanted. Belushi. I don't know that they scripted a lot of the things. Did they just give him a concept to say, here's what we want to accomplish in the scene? How was that dynamic, Sean? Do you know?
A lot of it was just egging him on, you know. It was like, okay, here, you're going to go through the cafeteria line. And they would just shoot out a roll of film on him stuffing his face in various ways. And
right. How do you write
working
that?
Working up the eyebrows.
And actually, believe it or not, I mean, the speech is memorable. We've been riffing that for over a month now. But as I watched the movie, I had forgotten again when Flounder comes back with the wrecked car. John Belushi doesn't say anything. He's doing the facial things and just hysterical. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you say, boy, when you see those dailies, you just let it ride. I mean, I remember reading that when John Hughes got done filming the mess around car scene in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. He said, for the first time, I realized the genius of John Candy. He didn't even say anything, and I was on the floor laughing because how funny he was in that. Belushi accomplishes the exact same thing with the car and with Flounder in the movie Animal House. And I'm sure that wasn't, you know, they probably looked at that after the daily and said, we gotta find a place to put this. There's no way this can not be in the movie.
Well, the interesting thing with that, too, is a constant kind of struggle between Landis and Belushi, because Belushi wanted to be in more of the movie, and he wanted to be on the road trip to Emily Dickinson College. And I think Landis was correct. He said, we got to use this guy sparingly, so he comes in and kills and then gets out. You know, you don't want a Marx Brothers movie that's all Harpo.
You know, you figure as a baseball fan, if you got an ace, you ride your ace, right? But I think Landis picking and choosing where they could hide him. I mean, basically, if you think about it, you're going to hang in there to see when John Belushi's coming back on the screen again, and there's no overkill. 40 years in the rearview mirror, I got to say that was the right concept.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because, I mean, also how far, you don't want that character too developed, you know, you want him to keep surprising you, so 7 years of college down the drain can be a surprise.
I wonder how much of that speech that he gave actually was scripted, and then when he really went with that, just really amazing. One of the funny things that I remember, and again, I was not the Saturday Night Live devotee that a lot of people were. I think there was several funny sketches and some that stay with me for a long time. But I remember the next year. I'm gonna guess it. Either was it later on in that year, or maybe in this 1979, when Gary Busey and that train wreck showed up to host Saturday Night Live, and I guess the opening scene, he meets John Belushi in the hallway or whatever, and Belushi's sort of questioning what's his credibility to host the show. And Belushi goes, "You were in the Buddy Hackett story, and I was in Animal House, and you're getting Tom Billing." Do you remember that exchange?
I didn't see that one.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah. I remember
Buddy Hackett story.
He said, "You're in the Buddy Hackett story. I was in Animal House, and you're getting top billing." Well, and I think he did the excuse me. I think it morphed into that. You know, he did this whole monologue about Gary Busey, and then said excuse me. But so Belushi's like the big name star. You got Donald Sutherland, who's in. We're going to talk about Dean Wormer. And do you know a couple people who were in line for that role, Sean?
No, but I'll tell you, I think that is the great... I love John Vernon.
Really?
He's the villain in Point Blank with Lee Marvin, and he's the villain in Outlaw Josie Wales.
Right.
And what an inspired bit of casting to have him be a foil to those guys. I think it like predates Leslie Nielsen in Airplane, you know, to take this very serious actor.
And was the mayor in Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
And was very, very cool. And then, of course, he does an incredibly funny, one of the really underappreciated comedy movies that is really funny is I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. And
right. He's tremendous.
Vernon plays Mr. Big. And I never got the connection because I never saw the Outlaw Josie Wales or other than the mayor. And what were they paying homage to? What Vernon role were they paying homage to in I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker?
I think that was more just a case of, you know, there was always that one guy in the blaxploitation movies that was, you know, it was usually Robert Vaughn.
Absolutely. Yeah, but it really inspired. And I think that sort of paved the way for Leslie Nielsen and for Peter Graves to take those roles. I know I'm up on a break, but when he and I start talking about movies, I remember seeing an article with Peter Graves, and Peter Graves' phone was not ringing. And he gets this, his manager gets this script for Airplane, and he goes down and meets Zucker, and Abrams, and he's absolutely horrified by what he's reading that they want him to say. And I've heard two different
Turkish prisons.
Right, yeah. I've heard two versions of the story that Peter Graves, I think he was on with like Bob Costas one time, and he comes back, he said he came to his wife, and he said, you know, they're making a joke out of my career. He says, I can't do this movie. They're making a joke out of the career. Because he was really excited to go down to get a movie audition because his phone hadn't been ringing. And his wife goes, well, go up and take a nap and I'll get lunch ready and I'll call you when it's ready. And from what I understand, and I've heard two different versions, Peter Graves gets up from the nap and the wife had read the script and she says, you've got to do this movie. This is going to be a huge hit. If you pass this up, it's going to be the regret of a lifetime. And Peter Graves said he did it because his wife told him, and the agent is taking credit saying the movie's going to be huge. Nobody thought the movie was going to be huge. And then Graves said when he went to the first screening and people were laughing out loud, and then he said he was in a store buying something and a lady came up behind him and said, have you ever seen a grown man naked? He said, I knew that I'd gone to another level. But yeah, his wife, he gave his credit. He said his wife read the script and said, this movie's going to be giant. And John Vernon had to take the same leap of faith. Had to. So, fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life. I think that's his epitaph now, really, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, they would hide like Belushi from him. So it wasn't until the camera was actually rolling that he saw Belushi with the pencils in his nose.
Oh, really?
So that's why you have that great double take with him trying to put the glasses on.
You know, the one scene while the horse is upside down and the guy's working around the horse, I didn't get that. Did I miss that bit of comedy? What's funny about that? That he's not noticing?
Oh, they're just going on as business as usual, right? And the guys are trying to figure out how to get the horse out of the office.
Sean Burns from Splice Personality. And when he and I start talking about movies, I think, you know, we could filibust on this, dude. You understand that, right? I could do
Absolutely.
8 hours. All right, Sean Burns is with us. Give out information about your website so people know, too, brother. Go.
Yeah, it's www.splicepersonality.com. You can find all my movie reviews and interviews there.
All right, all right. And there's too many movies now for best picture that nobody ever sees. Too. That's a huge problem, don't you think?
I don't even want to start up.
Yeah,
the Oscars.
When the biggest thing about the Oscars in the last 5 years is Warren Beatty and screwing up, you know there's something wrong with the issue. All right, hold on a second. There's Sean Burns from Splice Personality. We got more to talk about Animal House, and we're going to talk about Bruce McGill and Peter Riegert and a whole bunch more here on WDEL. So stay right there. It's the Saturday Hotspot.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
You're listening to WDEL Saturday Hotspot. Here's Frank Gregory.
40 years of Animal House. Favorite movie from a lot. And again, when Rolling Stone rolls out the funniest movies, Animal House invariably shows up in the top four or five normally because everybody has a favorite scene. And when I emailed Sean about coming on the show, he gave the toga chant. Well, toga, again, I was never in college, and I was certainly not fraternity material. Was that a tradition, or is it sort of Animal House usher that in? How did that come about?
I have no idea. Apparently, it was a tradition, at least, I think it was Dartmouth, right? Chris Miller went to Dartmouth.
Yes.
And that's where they got that from. I know, by the time I went to school, everyone was doing it just because they did it in the movie.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It became a trend. What, Carl,
it may have come from the fact that the fraternities are based on the Greek.
Well, I know we know that, but I mean, it's just like, I mean, toga. I mean, people were going. I mean, people were chanting toga, 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 and you know, people had no. I had no clue about that. I didn't know what it was. And it's funny, we're talking Peter Riegert, who of course played Boone. And they tried to do the love story angle with them. That tried to weave through the movie. Of course, he shows up in The Sopranos as the councilman, a completely polar opposite character. And, of course, Bruce McGill shows up in My Cousin Vinny. And he's done a lot more serious roles. Were these guys, obviously, was their first time out. You never want to get typecast, but they really went against the grain on some of their future roles, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, Bruce McGill looks nothing like he did back then, so I remember seeing him. I think it was in The Insider. I was like, oh, that's D-Day? Really?
Yeah. He looks a little... He's a little too old for that role in... And he looks like he's probably 27 or 28 at that point. That's not the most egregious...
Right.
That's not the most egregious aged... I mean, Stockard Channing being 32 and playing a high school girl in Greece will remain the standard of it. What doesn't work.
I think the smartest thing Landis did, though, is he had all the Deltas come to the set a week earlier than the rest of the cast, and they all lived together and got drunk all the time. So by the time the Omegas and the rest of the cast showed up for work, they were all this tight-knit community, and they just, you know, Kevin Bacon says they wouldn't give them the time of day. The Omegas would walk in a room, and the Delta guys would start throwing food at them.
Oh, really? They said, want to get them into character. Now,
and so they stole the piano from the lobby of the hotel where they were staying. Mm-hmm. Bruce McGill stole it and had it in his room, and they would stay in there all night partying. And Mark Metcalf, who played Niedermeyer, he actually got the room above them. And he said he would stay all night listening to them party, and he said it fueled his performance, that he would get angrier and angrier.
That's absolutely amazing. I had a thought. What was I thinking of while you were saying that? It popped into my head and popped right out of my head as they were talking about that. But Bruce McGill, again, as a D-Day, he did look a little bit old and to be in the role. So that was, and they had to choose. There was a lot of colleges that didn't want the movie on their campus. They ended up in Oregon, correct?
Sean? Yeah, that was the last choice. And the dean of Oregon, they had actually, the only reason they got it was they had wanted the graduate to film there. And he had read the script and said, this is awful, I don't give you permission. And the graduate became a huge hit. And he said, well, I don't know anything about movies, so I'll just say yes to the next one that comes along.
And, well, it's funny that this is considered the teen gross-out comedy genre. And the two colleges that are interwoven, other than Faber College, you had Harvard, which were the Lampoon came, and Dartmouth, two of the most prestigious state colleges in the entire United States. So that is comedy magic when you have it right there. I mean, you figure if you can get that, I mean, it's not like the University of Delaware is just named the number one party school in the nation. Did you pick up on that?
I didn't know, but congratulations.
Yeah, well, they're quite proud of that, from what I understand. We're with Sean Burns from Splice Personality. A couple final thoughts about Animal House. We have some ideas for some future shows, and he's a great guy to have. And again, check him out on splicepersonality.com. Let's get WDEL's exclusive AccuWeather forecast, then a couple more funny stories about Animal House, one of those treasured movies of all time, as part of the Saturday Hotspot here on WDEL. Stay right there.
What's that on your chest, mister?
It's a pledge pin, sir.
A pledge pin on your uniform!
You're listening to WDEL Saturday Hotspot. Here's Frank Gregory.
And there's Niedermeyer, who gets shot by his own troops in Vietnam, right? That was
yes.
Just kidding. We began the show talking about Doug Kenny. Did he want a bigger role, and this was his baby? Did he feel cut out or left out a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't an actor, and, he has a much bigger part in Caddyshack, which, and I think you can see why he got cut out of this one.
Mm-hmm. So,
but the reason Landis had to give him a part, he and Chris Miller are those two guys at the end there in the parade with the sunglasses on.
Right.
That stand together and don't talk, because they couldn't afford to have the writers on the set to do punch-ups for scenes.
Right.
So he figured he would just cast them and hire them as actors, and then he would have the writers around.
And tell us the story about Richard Pryor real quick.
Oh, yeah. So Ned Tannen at Universal, he still hated the movie, even though he knew it was going to make money. He said, we have to cut out the "Do you mind if we dance with your date" scene. And he said, there's going to be race riots. You can't put that into theaters. And Richard Pryor was a big fan of the film. He'd seen an early cut. And so Landis had him write a letter to Ned Tannen. And the letter said, "Dear Ned, Animal House is effing funny. White people are crazy. Richard."
Right.
And that's how the scene got saved.
Well, to be honest with you, that is my, the Fawn Leibowitz scene, that part of the movie is my favorite part of the movie. I mean, I just, Andy, have three dates for my friends. I mean, just everything about that, everything about that works. Somebody's on the phone?
Yeah, they have a comment.
They have because somebody has, a caller has a comment. Hold on a second, Sean. You're on with Sean Burns. What's your comment?
Hi, Frank. It's John. Just a quickie. I was in Eugene, Oregon about 30 years ago. Burrell's living out there, and I saw the actual house where they filmed it. I think they have since torn it down. But I also toured Universal Studios in Hollywood, and they said they filmed it there, too, one of their studio houses. Which was which? Was it both?
What's the true story on that, Sean? Thanks, man. What's the true story on that?
Yeah, I know they filmed on location in the college because the actual dean's office was the dean's office.
Right.
So maybe there was soundstage work done at Universal, but I know at least
some of the interior shots, the toga party and things like that, I would imagine would be at the Universal, don't you think? I mean, the interior shots of that. I mean, the exteriors. Mike Phillips has something. What?
So where did they shoot the scene with the horse? I mean, was the
they put a horse in the dean's office
in Oregon? But that's not, awesome.
That's obvious. Yeah. They actually,
I guess I just made the assumption that would have been soundstage, but right. Oh, that's tremendous. Right.
But other than you've lost Doug Kenny, you've lost Belushi, obviously. Stephen First just died last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Who else have we lost from Animal House?
Yeah,
Stephen First is gone. And of course Belushi and Doug Kenny.
Huh.
But
yes.
Yeah, so that they've actually all held up pretty well. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be some sort of reunion or some sort of DVD coming out with a retrospective and things like that. But really interesting.
Well, I'm sure I still have the 20th anniversary DVD here, so I'm sure there'll be another one I'll have to buy.
All right, well, Sean Burns, that hour goes way too fast.
It does, absolutely, sir.
One thing great about you have not gone through life fat, drunk, and stupid. You're
pretty close.
you're a hell of a guy and a valued friend and contributor to the Saturday Hotspot. We're going to talk about doing another show before the end of the year, and now you're booked for the Saturday before Christmas. You're going to be on the Christmas show. We'll dumpster to some Christmas movie. I want you to come up with the best Christmas movies and why, like I asked you to do last year, which you couldn't do, so I'm going to give you a heads up this year. I tried to do it maybe a day or two before. I didn't give you enough time, so now you can do it this year. All right.
I'll arrange my travel plans accordingly this year.
Well, I appreciate that. Hey, it's great talking to you, my friend. Best luck in all your endeavors. All right. We'll be in touch soon. All right. There's the great Sean Burns from SplicePersonality.com. Thank you for putting up with us today. We had a lot of fun. We sort of got into the vein of Animal House. And if I could channel my inner Bluto, I think I tried my very, very best. I don't know that I'm a P.I.G. pig, but I'm sure some people would like to brand me that. Until we talk next Saturday, when we're in September and it's Labor Day weekend, Frank Gregory for Carl Soup and the gang here on WDE. Have a great week.